coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Reformation Week, and we are doing a short series on Lutheranism around the world. We thought it appropriate on this Reformation Day, October the 31st, that we would go back to where it began. The big question is, that may be where the Reformation began. Has it remained there in Germany in any real substantial theological way? Joining us to talk about Lutheranism around the world today in Germany, Dr. Christopher Allman. He's assistant pastor of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Leipzig, Germany. Dr. Allman, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Todd.
What is the current state of confessional Lutheranism in Germany today?
Well, first of all, there is a presence of confessional Lutheranism in Germany today. You can find it in the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany most readily. It is a small yet faithful group of Lutherans that basically, to put a lot of history into a nutshell, emerged from dissenting from the Prussian Union in the 19th century. And largely lays there as many people entered into the free church situation in Germany, whereas other people immigrated to other parts of the world, the United States, South Africa, Australia, and so forth. So that the current state of confessional Lutheranism is that there is an aspect of confessional Lutheranism still in Germany. It's a vital, small, yet faithful group that remains to this day.
What about the? How would you evaluate the majority Lutheran presence in Germany in terms vis-a-vis the confessions? That is, I guess we could say, to be crass, kind of non-confessional Lutheranism in Germany.
Well, that would be essentially the predominant posture in Germany that would not resonate necessarily with confessional Lutheranism in Germany. That's the standard overwhelmingly presence in Germany in terms of the ecclesiastical landscape.
How did we get from from the 16th century, the birthplace of the Lutheran confession, to a current-day Germany where the predominant Lutheran presence is liberal and doesn't have a great affinity for those original Lutheran confessions? How did we get to that state of affairs?
Well, going from the, let's just start from the signing of the Formula of Concord in 1577, a significant amount of time following that event, you had what's called in historical circles the period of Lutheran Orthodoxy. Perhaps pejoratively, perhaps not, you can also call it the period of Lutheran Scholasticism, and that Scholasticism bent largely was developed to dispute the Jesuits, or the sort of major missionary aggressive arm of the Roman Church. Toward the tail end of the period of Lutheran Orthodoxy, you have two basic movements that trouble the period of Lutheran Orthodoxy, and namely those are rationalism and pietism. Rationalism was largely a philosophy based upon reason. All things were subjected to reason. Pietism was in many ways a reaction to rationalism. It sought to counter rationalist efforts in terms of revival, and that revival took many different forms. It started with devotional groups, with Bible studies. Then it took a turn in the mid-19th century in terms of the neo-Lutheran movement, where you saw a restoration of liturgy, restoration of doctrine, restoration of an interest and actual study in the Lutheran confessions. In the midst of that, you have the efforts of the Union Church, with Friedrich Wilhelm III and then the Fourth, wanting to fuse Lutheran churches and Reformed churches into one state church. And that's the primary catalyst event for confessional Lutheran movements in Germany. Those are the historical events. You've got some intellectual and social currents going on as well that overlap to in many degrees. You've got historical criticism, which subjects everything in terms of divine revelation under human reason. You have romanticism going on in Germany, which again takes a number of different forms and manifests itself not just in theology, not just in preaching, but also many of the arts. As the 20th century comes to the fore, you've got the industrialization of Europe, you've got the secularization of Europe, then, of course, you have Marxism and communism, all of which contribute to atheism. In many ways, you can see the increasing liberalization as an attempt to deal with it without countering these various movements that confessional Lutherans would find troubling, if not anti-Christian. So I'm trying to summarize in brief fashion how we got to the point in which we find the German Christian, you could call it, landscape, German religious landscape, just a lot of events and intellectual currents and trends that in many ways buffeted the Christian faith from all angles.
Looking at Germany as a whole, how would you describe the religious demographics there? How does it break down?
Well, in terms of Christianity, former East Germany, the current population that claims to be Christian is approximately 18%. And within that percentage, about 3 to 4% of the total population of former East Germany actually attends church on a regular basis. The percentage of people who claim to be Christian in former West Germany is a bit higher, but again, the number of people who actually attend church on Sunday is about the same, about 3 to 5%. Approximately, going back to former East Germany, approximately 50% of people are avowed atheists, and again, the presence of communism and Marxism in that region of the world and the middle part of the 20th century, that makes a great deal of sense, as unfortunate as it is. Bavaria in southern Germany, of course, is largely Roman Catholic in terms of Christian allegiance, but there again, churchly attendance is very low. There are many different religious presences, Christian or not, state church, free church. Basically, what we have in the United States is essentially what they have there. The percentages are considerably smaller, yet many non-Christian presences, especially radical Islam, is growing. And that has been a steady presence on account of the Turkish immigration. But in addition to radical Islam, you have Baha'i, you have Buddhism, you have Mormonism, and you have many others. It's a smorgasbord that many of us in the United States are familiar with.
Let's talk a bit about, because it sounds like you're really talking still, in some cases, demographically, about two Germanies. Let's talk about the particular challenge that atheism, the kind that's born out of generations of Marxism and communism. What's the particular challenge there for bringing the gospel into an avowed atheistic kind of a culture?
Well, in many respects, people in East Germany, they simply repeat what they have been spoon-fed all their lives, not in terms of intellectual arguments against Christianity, but just, you know, holistic reaction to Christianity as being foreign to the default position of former East German life. In a sense, they react to Christianity or they dismiss it because that's really all they've known. That's what they were taught in so many ways to do. And so you really have a true hardened posture against Christianity, which you confront as a Christian. nevertheless, evangelization still occurs, and perhaps not surprisingly, but still interestingly enough from an American perspective, is that there is a response to the gospel by working of the Holy Spirit among those who are immigrating to Germany from either other European nations or, more seemingly, demographics coming from the Middle East, and specifically Iran. There is a, if you want to use the term awakening or a response or just simple faith in the promises of the gospel that is occurring most rapidly by immigrants from Iran, to the point where there is a confessional Lutheran congregation in Berlin that their baptized roster has expanded over fourfold after intentional outreach to Iranian Persian immigrants. And these are immigrants who are well-educated. They're looking for jobs in Germany with a strong economy. And they came in nominally Muslim, and functionally agnostic in reaction to the Iranian government. They're coming to Germany. They're entering into language groups because they need to learn German for long-term residency purposes. And many of them enter into churches who facilitate these language groups. And, you know, they read all these baptismal texts. 6 weeks later or so, they want to be baptized, and they become the strongest backbone of a Lutheran congregation. So it's very interesting, the things that are developing, which I sort of went into a different direction than your specific question, but, you know, keep on doing what a confessional Lutheran church does in any situation, that is, proclaim the gospel, which is sharper than any two-edged sword.
We'll talk a little bit about, well, that's good news, right? Good news. Nominal Muslims in Germany are open to hearing the gospel. What about those who are devoted Muslims who are immigrating in Germany? What are the challenges facing Lutheranism in Germany in their case? We'll answer that question with Dr. Christopher Ullman right after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Our chief endeavor.
great Reformation hymn for Reformation Day from the Concordia Seminary Chorus. God's Word is our great heritage, and that's what's playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. LutheranPublicRadio.org is sacred music for the world 24/7, 365 days a year, and it follows the church year. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen any time to sacred music for the world. Dr. Christopher Ullman is our guest. During this Reformation week, we're talking about Lutheranism around the world today, Germany. Dr. Ullman, you spoke earlier about the nominal Muslim in Germany and how that is a great opportunity, a great open door for the preaching of the gospel there. What about the devoted Muslim who immigrates to Germany? What is the challenge there?
Well, the challenge is, I think an initial challenge is interacting with a contingent, namely those who align with radical Islam, with the Christian faith, and doing so in a way that the gospel can be heard clearly, and then simply dealing with the continued insistence against the gospel, as well as other activities that, or other realities that the radical Islamic presence may afford in retaliation to the gospel. That requires a lot of, you know, cultural sensitivity, but at the same time, certainly a confidence in the gospel itself and our articulation of Jesus Christ that certainly people within radical Islam are familiar with to some degree, but it's a matter of clearly confessing the gospel in a context that is in some way non-receptive or even hostile. It's an ongoing challenge, but it's one that is worth taking up.
I want to come back to something you mentioned before that I think our listeners here in the United States would find rather shocking, and that is the single-digit attendance at church, even among groups that would probably be, at least in terms of the state church in Germany, people would say, well, I guess I'm Lutheran because I'm German. How do we account for single-digit percentage of church attendance, whether it be East, former East, or West Germany?
Well, I think much of it comes from just the sheer aftermath of all of the historical trends that have led into each other and accumulated to some degree in various pockets of Germany. Again, from a churchly perspective, you know, rationalism certainly held its sway in terms of the development of the historical critical method in its various forms, and that holds sway in terms of theological schools, and all of which contributes to a deleterious effect on the proclamation of the gospel. And then, of course, Marxism and communism and the government satellite aspect of East Germany, all of that is true. More broadly and more recently is the reality that the church, by and large, in German culture is an agent of the state. And there appears to be this culture of, well, yes, I was baptized, yes, I was confirmed, I pay the church tax, I'm doing my part to keep the church going. There is less incentive of actually being there present at a divine service or a liturgy of some sort where the Word of God has its way with you. And it very much is a matter of being a cultural Lutheran or a cultural Christian and having a loyalty to the church from the standpoint of affiliation and doing your part to make sure that the church is being cared for so it's there when you need it. It's kind of a resource that is within arm's reach rather than understanding oneself as a member of the body of Christ by virtue of his or her baptism, an actual participant in the body of Christ, and coming to church expecting that Jesus will have his way with you in the power of the Holy Spirit by word and sacrament. So it's very much enabling the church to be present and knowing that one is baptized, one is confirmed, but not clinging to the promises where God finds them, namely in word and sacrament.
A couple more questions. One of the things I noted, I think most people who visit Germany from outside will note, is that Luther and the Reformation as a movement is held in high esteem, but not primarily for theological reasons. Primarily, it's a cultural and kind of a civic remembrance of Luther and the Reformation. Does that play into the religious apathy of many Germans?
I would think so. In large measure, Luther appears to be nothing more, and when I say nothing more, it is still significant in terms of the German mind, but Luther is very much an historical hero who did much to bring Germany into what we know as the modern period during the Renaissance, where, you know, when he translates the Old and New Testaments into the German language, yes, he brings the Word of God into the German language, but from a modern German standpoint, he standardizes the German language and does his part in terms of giving Germany its character to some degree. But yes, very much so. There is little consideration given to Luther being the servant of the gospel and the gospel being the driving force for virtually every activity that Luther did. He's seen in terms of historical lenses, in terms of being some sort of hero of the German lands. So yes, I would very much see that and find that to be true.
There's also, with the Reformation, a flowering of culture, so to speak. We're talking about church music that remains to this day sometimes just frozen as cultural artifacts, like the music of Bach and others. Does that represent, in some ways, a good opportunity for those who wish to evangelize in Germany, that they have this as their cultural heritage, a foot in the door, so to speak, for the proclamation of the gospel that really gave birth to all of that German culture?
Very much so. In fact, it's much more than a foot in the door. It's more like half your body in the door. from my standpoint, it's a significant outlet, so to speak, for gospel proclamation. Many people in Europe and Eastern Europe and so forth, they know this literature from their childhood. They may know that it is sacred in orientation. However, you know, again, they're not part of the regular assembly around word and table, receiving the gifts of God, and perhaps on that account, they don't make that connection necessarily between the literature they're hearing and the gospel that actually inspired it in the first place. And taking advantage of the sheer wealth that you know, if you were in an academic circle, you may not be Lutheran, you may not be Christian, but you slobber over this kind of literature, and much musicological ink has been spilled throughout the past century on this exact literature. And interestingly, many people within the musicological realm are coming to terms with Bach, for instance, as being a genuinely Christian person and seeing how all of this has to do with his Christian faith. That was not so much a motif that was taken up, especially in the 20th century and the middle 20th century, for obvious reasons pertaining to just kind of the neglect of the Christian faith in Europe, and thus the neglect of that motif in European scholarship. But the past 30 years has seen a proliferation of seeing Bach, for example, as a true servant of the gospel. And it makes perfect sense, on not just in terms of expressing our Christian confession of faith, but advancing the latest musicological research that shows that this kind of literature is actually a servant of the gospel, and actually taking advantage of it, affording it to be played in concerts and heard in concerts where people will come, and making that connection between the literature they are hearing and the gospel itself that inspired it, and actually proclaiming the gospel by way of concert theme and so forth, to advance the gospel and allure people back into the church by way of attraction, by way of allurement, and, you know, just quite simply taking advantage of the sheer volume of heritages that we have and we have received as Lutherans.
Dr. Christopher Ullman is assistant pastor of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Leipzig, Germany. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Folks, you can find out about confessional Lutheran mission work in Germany at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. In hour two of Issues, Etc., during this Reformation week and on this Reformation Day, we're going to think about Reformation as it was originally thought. It is the eve of All Saints' Day. So on this eve of All Saints' Day, we're going to be studying an All Saints' Day hymn called Behold a Host Arrayed in White. Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is going to be our guest. Coming up at the end of this week, Friday at 3 p.m. Central, we've got Issues Etc. 24, and we need your answers, and we need your input, and we need them soon. We need them now. We need your answer to the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? You can answer that question by calling our comment line, our 24-hour comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Leave your answer before the start of Issues Etc. 24, Friday afternoon at 3 Central. Thank you very much for your answers to that those questions, and make sure that you tell everybody you know about Issues Etc. 24, our live 24-hour broadcast coming up Friday this week at 3 p.m. Central and running all the way live for 24 hours through Saturday, 3 p.m. Central. When we come back, Dr. Arthur Just will join us. We'll study the All Saints' Day hymn, Behold a Host Arrayed in White.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.